When God turned the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. There's some testimony you need to, from time to time, pinch yourself. Am I dreaming? Am I dreaming? Are you sure I'm awake? Psalm 23 verse 5 is one of such testimonies. Psalm 23 verse 5. David said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Now that's good enough testimony. But then he went further to say, "Thou anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over." Everybody will say, what kind of testimony is that now, brother? Are you sure you are not lying? And I'll share one with you. I know you are not going to believe it, but it doesn't matter. It is important that you know no liar will go to heaven. And I'm going to share this one just to let you know how much God loves me. And so you can tap into the Holy Spirit too and see. Difficult to believe, I'm sure. We were in Ilorin. I was still a lecturer in the university there, acting head of department of maths. But I'm fully in the Lord now. And we had this pot of tea that contains 5 cups. Whenever we wanted to eat breakfast, my wife and I, we fill the pot. I'll take 1 cup, she will take 1 cup. Take the second, she will take the second. Occasionally, whoever finishes the second first will go for the third. And so on this occasion, the pot was full, as usual. I took one, she took one. She took the second, I was about to take my own second one, and I discovered the pot was empty. So I looked at her. We were together at the table, so I knew what was going on. Darling, she's not possibly able to take 4 cups. Why I'm still on one? Darling, what happened? She said, "What? How many cups have you taken?" She said, "I'm on my second one." But the pot was empty. What's happening? And then the Lord spoke to me. And I said, when you are praying, you said, "Lord, bless this food. Join us as we eat." I thought you invited me. I was thrilled. But when I began to share the testimony, oh God, you should see the way brethren look at me. Now he's gone. Look at him. Now he's saying that Jesus drank tea. It became an embarrassment. I had to cry to God, "Please, could you show me from the scriptures? Because if I can see it in the Bible, then I'll be able to shut the mouth of these people." Then he showed me in the Bible that in John 21, after he rose from the dead, he came to visit the disciples. When they caught nothing, and he came and he told them where to catch the fish, and they caught the fish, and then they came and joined him at the shore. By the time they came to the shore, they saw fish already cooking. And he ate fish and bread with them. He said, if after he rose from the dead, he could eat fish and bread, if they had tea in those days, I said, "Thank you, Lord." Somebody here listening to me now, in less than 1 year, you are going to have a testimony. That when you share it, people will say, God is partial to you. If you are the one, let me hear your email loud and clear. Number six. Mary was saying, the event you are talking about, this son of the Most High coming, the prophets predicted that the Messiah will come. From what you are saying, I guess you are saying, I'm going to be involved in bringing the Messiah to the world. And the scriptures, the prophets have told us that this is going to be an earth-shaking event. And the angel said, you are right. So the question is, how do I become involved in an earth-shaking event? And the answer is the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, Acts 2, verse 1 to 4. The Bible says on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the disciples were gathered together in one room, in one accord, just as we are gathered together tonight. And suddenly, there came the sound as of a rushing mighty wind. And when a wind comes rushing in, I mean, those of you in America should understand that more than anyone else. It shakes up everything. There was a rushing mighty wind that shook the whole house. And the world has not recovered from the event of that day. How do I be part of that earth-shaking event? The answer is the Holy Spirit. Whether you believe it or not, the Almighty God is about to shake America. Oh, there have been shakings politically, there have been shakings economically. There's now coming a spiritual shaking. A revival so big that America will say, we've never seen it so good. And do you know there are some of you here who will be part and parcel of it? Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. Now, how do I know that? And this will explain to some of the big daddies why I've been so patient with them, why I've tolerated all kinds, because of something that happened more than 30 years ago here in America. And you know, nothing happens by accident with God. Some of you probably have heard the testimony before, only you don't know the link up to this moment. 1979, my father and the Lord and I, and four others, six of us, came to Kenetiken Camp Meeting in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we stayed in an hotel called My Hotel. On one of the nights, one of the early mornings, my father and the Lord was just sent for all of us. And he was gone, praying the Holy Spirit like we've never seen him pray before. And it was at that meeting when the six of us were now gathered to him, that he announced that he was going away. Now that was shocking enough. But then he threw another bombshell at the, and said that I'll be succeeding him. And of course, when he said that one, we all began to pray. And you know that kind of prayer is not the prayer you pray with your hand in your pocket. When you are told that your destiny is about to be radically changed, you don't pray casual prayers. We pray at the very top of the hotel, one of the rooms at the top. And all of a sudden, the engineer of the hotel came knocking at the door. And because I was at the door, I was flat on my face at the door. So I got up and I opened the door to him and he said, what kind of instrument are you playing? I said, instrument? He said, yes. We're not playing an instrument, we are praying. He said, no. He came into the room, he looked under the bed, he looked in the wardrobe, he was puzzled. Then he turned, as he was going out through the door, he turned around and said, what do you say you were doing? I said, we say we are praying. Then I said, by the way, why? He said, because the hotel is shaking. And we have traced the source of the vibration to this room. There was a shaking that day in Tulsa, in my hotel. Now, we left. But because the shaking, it was something serious. They shut down the hotel. They dug around the foundation to check what's wrong with the foundation. You know how meticulous you can be in America. The shaking has stopped after we stopped praying. But something shook this thing. Let's check the foundation. They checked the foundation. They couldn't find anything wrong. And they shut the hotel for 30 years. Oh, yes. Until 2009, when myself and some of the people who are present here went to Tulsa for a program, and I was pointing the hotel to them. That's the hotel where we prayed, and the hotel shook. And so we went there. And when I got there, I just felt a deep compassion. These people have shut down this hotel for 30 years because some people prayed. So, very gently, I placed my hand on the hotel and I prayed a simple prayer. By the following year, it was reopened. I have not forgotten that it is here in America that we prayed that prayer that shook an hotel and caused the hotel to be shut for 30 years. And it has something to do with my destiny. I know that there is a major shaking coming to America. And it's going to involve me. So it's going to happen in my lifetime. And it's going to involve some people else. I don't know who those people are. Are you sure you are one of them? Yes. How do I get involved in an earth-shaking event? What's the answer?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Now, let me give you just one more point. That will be point number seven. All right. What? Mary was actually being told to do or to become is to become unique. Because there had never been a case like that before. And there had never been a case like that ever. We've never heard of another case when a virgin conceived. Not only was she being asked to become unique, She was being asked to become excellent. You see, because the word excellent, for you to fully understand the word excellent, when we are comparing things, we say something is good, something is better, something is best. And then occasionally we say, you can better your best, which means you are still comparing. But when you talk about excellent, you mean something so good, it can never be improved upon. How do I excel? How do I become one of a kind forever? Not just for a year or two. Because in the world of sports, I'm sure you, at least even if you are not a sportsman, you still watch television and watch sportsmen. You see somebody who's a champion today, is not a champion tomorrow. Somebody may be a champion for 7 years, after some time, he's gone. But occasionally you see somebody who stands like a star. Yeah, you see, find some great, great people, but you say, this one is one of his kind. And one of such people is Muhammad Ali. Oh, there are other world champions who had come after him. But you haven't found another one who can predict a fight in a poetic manner. He was a boxer. But they offered him the professorial chair of poetry in one of the American universities because he will predict how he's going to knock out his opponent and put it in poetic form. He combined pugilistic ability with a rare academic spark. And you know, he didn't go to college. How do I excel? The answer is the Holy Spirit. You see, in Luke chapter 1, verses 31 and 32, Luke 1, 31 and 32, the angel said that the baby you are about to have shall be great. In Philippians 2, verse 10 to 11, Philippians 2, verse 10 to 11, the Bible says, and God has given him a name that's above all names. All. In a moment, we are going to pray. In a moment, we are all going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill us. And I'm sure he will grant our request. But you see, how full you are is determined by trust. If you want to drink, how thirsty you are will determine how much of water you will drink. And you can find a collection of people who are full of the Holy Spirit. And yet, one is fuller than the other. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 8, Acts 6, verse 1 to 8. The Bible tells us the story of the selection of the original deacons. And they were all to have the same qualifications. Men of good report. They must be wise. They must be full of the Holy Spirit, etc., etc. And then they selected seven. You know. And I've always told this story that one of my children came to me years ago and said, Daddy, do you know the Bible very well? I say, of course I do. I mean, a general overseer, you want to impress your little child. I said, I know the Bible. He said, from Genesis, I said, I know the Bible. I didn't know where he was coming from, and I didn't know where he was going. He said, who is Prochorus? I said, Prochorus? He said, yes. Is that name in the Bible? He said, I thought you said you know the Bible. He said, all right, if you don't know that one, who is Nicanor? Nicanor. I don't know Nicanor. He said, who is Timon? I said, Simon. No, Timon. I said, I don't know Timon. He said, and these are part of the seven first deacons. When we ask you who are the deacons, the original deacons, you mention Stephen. You mention Philip. Do you mention Prochorus? Or Nicanor? Or Timon? When he said, I said, God have mercy on Prochorus. In a group of selected people, you see, have excellent people. And when you read that passage I gave you, Acts 6:1-8, it says, Stephen, a man full of the Holy Spirit and of power. I'm going to release you now to pray. And I know that they will stop you after a while because you have to give your offering and they want to make announcements and so on. But I want to appeal to you. Just keep on praying in the Holy Spirit until this weekend is over. And even when this weekend is over, don't stop. Tomorrow, by the grace of God, we will continue. And particularly tomorrow evening at the Holy Communion service, when we'll be rounding up my own section of it as we prepare for Friday night, we will go a step deeper. But even if all you heard during this conference is what you have heard, it's enough to change your life. It should enable you to view the Holy Spirit in a new dimension from another perspective. You can become a wonder if you connect with the Holy Spirit. I know some of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I believe all of you have been. But let's move further. And not just get the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but get the baptism in fire. Let's go to the Almighty God and say to him, I won't go back the way I came. I want your Holy Spirit to take me over completely. Will you stand on your feet and begin to talk to the Almighty God? And as soon as possible, then begin to pray in the Spirit. Talk to him now. How he will feel you will determine by how thirsty you are. And he will appreciate your thirst by how you pray. If you think this is a time to murmur, no problem. If you think this is a time to cry out to him, and roar to him, and say, Lord, I must not go back the way I came, over to you.
ask that the Holy Spirit will make you a witness to produce evidence and proof. To produce evidence and proof. Ask that the Holy Spirit will help you to achieve the impossible. To achieve the impossible. That you will not be a failure in the name of Jesus. Nobody can argue with results. Pray that your life will show results, good results, undeniable results. Ask that the Holy Spirit will make you to be a wonder, to be a wonder, to be a wonder, that people will look at you in amazement when they see what God is doing in your life, your ministry, your family. Pray that the law of nature will be suspended for your sake, for your sake, for your sake. The law of nature will be suspended. It was suspended for Joshua. That the law of nature, it was suspended for Peter, will be suspended for your sake.